A special called meeting of the WKU Board of Regents done pursuant to appropriate notice set for May 27, 2020 at 4 o'clock p.m. Our discussions will be part of the agenda, which has been submitted to the Regents. With that being said, I'll ask Secretary Brinkley to call the roll.
Regent Bale.
Present.
Regent Ball.
Present.
Regent Brinkley is present. Regent Ernst.
Present.
Regent Harris.
Present.
Regent Higdon.
Present.
Regent Henson.
Present.
Regent McKinney.
Present.
Regent Nichols.
Present.
And Regent Porter.
Present.
Mr. Chair, we have 10 regents present, representing a quorum of the board.
Thank you, sir. We are official to conduct business. We're going to treat today's process similar to a Finance and Budget Committee affair. Let Jason, since this deals with budget, bring those topics up. Normally at this time, I would ask the president if he had any comments. I'd like to preempt him for just a second to make a comment that I think is very appropriate at this time and place. I would like to say on behalf of the Board of Regents, please allow me the opportunity to express the board's appreciation to our shared governance partners and the work being done now and it's ongoing in the annual budget process. The annual ritual of developing and presenting the university's budget is never ending. It's never easy. But this year's task has been unprecedented. The impact of COVID-19 on the entirety of society has been unbelievable, with occurrences taking place literally overnight. This year, the WKU family of administrators, staff, faculty, students, and regents witnessed an exemplary process of transparency at all levels in the budget process. Many strategic variables drive the budget, such as our state budget appropriation, enrollment, retention, tuition, and others that are critical in arriving at a required balanced budget. We witnessed our sister universities grapple with each of their own particular budget situations. The budget process has been and continues to be wholesome and good. The debate, questions, and collaboration has been excellent. We have all been good listeners, and the debate will produce a better budget. Thank you to all the participants, the president, the president's cabinet, faculty, staff, and most importantly, Susan Horwath and her staff, and to the Budget Executive Committee as the main facilitator of the process. This past week, an endearing event occurred among the WKU family. The Faculty Senate, chaired by Julie Shadowin, and the Staff Senate, chaired by Mike Loftus, passed resolutions of shared sacrifice among its members. I would like to extend a round of applause to our faculty and staff for their actions.
Here, here.
With that being said, Mr. President, do you have anything to add?
I think that's beautifully well said, Mr. Chair. Let me also reiterate my thanks for the partnership of the Faculty Senate and the Staff Senate in the past week. We are in the midst of unprecedented times, and while I know individuals can quibble with decisions that are made, I want to remind everyone that each of us cares about one thing, the health and well-being of our students, our faculty and staff, and the success of the university. And, you know, there was a change that was made to the way in which we're going to share and sacrifice as a faculty and as a staff. And some people actually are going to have to give up a little bit more. But the reason I think that we're giving more is so that somebody else can be hurt less. And that kind of shared sacrifice, the willingness of our faculty and staff to not be self-interested but to focus on the whole is not just commendable, it's aspirational and inspirational. And so I just want to thank everybody who's willing to be part of this. If we are on the precipice of a Great Depression 2.0, doing all we can do together to protect those who might be most vulnerable and most susceptible to losing their positions, to keep them from entering that labor market, I think is admirable. And so I know it will cause individual challenges and individual pain, but as an organization, what we've demonstrated is at the best who we are. And so with that, the work that and the conversation that we will have today is about that continued shared sacrifice, but also ensuring we're doing all we can to help every member of the student family of WKU, the families of those students, and our prospective students to help them be able to return to campus this fall. And the financial conversation that we have will not be an easy one, but I think it is a crucial one for our success and for the success of our students and the well-being of our families. So with that, I look forward to the conversation, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the other board members, at the end of the meeting, we'll kind of go around, and if anyone has other comments to share, we'll solicit those comments. This is not passage of the budget today, but merely three items that CPE is requiring us to take action upon before tomorrow. And so I think it's appropriate that our Finance Committee Chair, Jason McKinney, sort of lead that discussion and walk us through our action items. Chair McKinney.
Okay, we have three separate items on the agenda today. Approval.
Hey, Julia wanted me to let you all know that they're having a problem with the live stream.
It finally synced up. There was a delay on the start, but it did finally start.
Okay.
So we're good.
Sorry,
all right. There's three items today: the approval of the mandatory student fee schedule, the approval of the tuition schedule, and then approval of a Kentucky Educator Graduate Tuition Discount. The way we're going to handle it today is let Susan and the provost make their presentations and then kind of treat this as, since everything's kind of co-related, we're going to treat it as one discussion and then bring up the items individually for vote. So, Susan, do you want to make your presentation?
Sure. Anthony, can you bring up the slide deck? Anthony? Okay, Jeff?
Give me just a moment.
Okay, thank you. Can anyone bring up the slide deck? Technology's great, isn't it, when it works? Not so good when it is a little slow. I'm actually looking forward to getting back to face-to-face meetings, guys.
Susan, just know that we've all been there.
Yeah.
So we're all suffering with you together. Don't worry.
Up, here we go. Okay, good. Again, this is it's a short slide deck. It involves tuition and fee settings. So next slide. So this is what I'll be covering. First off, just going through the background on the tuition and fee setting process. Then as Regent McKinney said, we have three action items: FB1, the mandatory student fee recommendation; FB2, the tuition rate schedule recommendations; and FB3, which is the education P12 rate recommendation. That is the one that I'll turn over to Provost Stevens and Dean Corinne Murphy to go over the details with. So next slide. Next slide. Okay, so what the CPE did this year was basically to mirror what was done with the fiscal year 21 state budget process. So I think we all know that rather than passing a biennial budget, a two-year budget, they passed a one-year budget. So what the CPE decided to mirror that was basically just approve a one-year tuition and fee schedule. And so these individual institutional proposals are due to the CPE tomorrow. We have to, so once the regents take action, we'll need to go back and complete a pretty sizable spreadsheet to get into the CPE tomorrow. The CPE Finance Committee will then review these proposals on June 4th, and then we'll go to the full CPE board on the 19th. Next slide. So on to FB1, the approval of the mandatory student fee schedule. So next slide. So leadership would like this board to consider the elimination of the distance learning surcharge, or the DL fee, of $150 per credit hour for fiscal year 2021 only. The primary drivers around this really are two. One is we really feel this is important to meet our enrollment projections and all the market implications that we've talked about with the COVID-19 that we're dealing with. Also, because some of the larger required courses are going to have to migrate to online, so we feel as if it's not prudent to punish the students from a fiscal perspective. If they're if they're being forced online, we shouldn't be applying that surcharge. So those are the primary drivers around this one-year suspension of that distance learning fee. All other mandatory fees are being held, or we're recommending that they be held to the current year rates. So the budgetary impact around this consideration we would like for the board to look at is a total of $4.15 million. $1.6 of this million basically affects DLO. And so because they are a revenue-dependent unit, they would be expected to reduce their expenditures to match the reduction in revenue. From a central fee perspective, it's approximately a $2.5 million impact. And we would manage that through the budget reduction plan that we covered at the last board meeting. So that $27 million bottom line that we talked about at the last board meeting, that includes the reduction of this fee. So next slide. So going on to the fiscal year 2021 tuition schedule. Next slide. So again, campus leadership is considering two tuition rate scenarios for the board to consider. One is flat tuition rates to the current year, so no increase, and a 2% increase to current year tuition rates. Basically, the budgetary impact of this is that a 2% increase would generate approximately net tuition revenue of about $2.4 million. And that factors into the scholarships, and that's why that's a little less than what you would expect, because it's a net tuition revenue of $2.4 million. So over the course of, and I just think this is important for as we talk about transparency, so over the course of the next three fiscal years, as you see larger class sizes move through the enrollment pipeline, a 2% increase would result in approximately revenue of about $10.7 million. So that's the decision point here. Next slide. So these charts just show you really, I think it kind of, as I was talking with others today, I think this kind of puts it in perspective. if we were to hold tuition flat, that brings that deficit that we talked about at the last board meeting of $27.2 million. If we were to do the 2% increase, the estimated shortfall is slightly less, $24.8 million, but not significantly less. So next slide. So that's all I have. And again, I know there's going to be a lot of discussion, and but for now, I'm going to turn this discussion item over to Provost Stevens and Dean Murphy with more details. So next slide. And I'll, Cheryl, I'll turn it over to you and Corinne.
Okay, thank you. And I am going to turn it over to Corinne because she's been the one who has worked, is most familiar with the implications of this and what it can do for us. So, Corinne.
Thank you, Provost Stevens. So the rate that we're considering right now is a reduction based off of our current rate of 415. We'd actually be moving it down to $350 per credit hour. As far as graduate programs for educators go within the state, our current rate of $415 per credit hour is really the third highest behind University of Kentucky and University of Louisville. If we change it to the $350 rate, we become the third lowest, only following programs like Cumberland's and Campbellsville. The attractiveness of this for our teachers is, as we all are very familiar, their annual salaries don't really support significant costs in graduate education. So this is definitely a nod to them. The other thing that we would like to do is apply it at the student level as opposed to the program level. So right now, there are only specific programs at the university that qualify for the $415 per credit hour rate. We'd like to apply it at the student level, meaning that any Kentucky teacher who's licensed, who's a resident of Kentucky, will be eligible for the $350 rate. It's through an increase in enrollment that we anticipate a net neutral or a net positive position for this tuition proposal. And I'm happy to say that the net neutral is 18 students, and we've already achieved a net gain of 21 students this summer. So I have full confidence that we will be able to move forward in a solid position using this rate.
So I think, Jason, I think that's all we have as far as a presentation.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or discussion on any of these items?
Mr. McKinney, could I frame this a little bit? Because I do think it's important to provide the framing for the conversation. And so I think that what we're balancing here is the needs of families and students and the needs of the institution. On one side, given the economic context in which we're working, a tuition increase is difficult. On the other side, a 2% tuition increase is moderate. Our net tuition is much lower than other institutions in the state. And the foregone revenue is not $2.4 million. It winds up being about $11 million. That's a significant hit over time to the budget. So I think we have to weigh both of those things. On the fee side, online education costs more than in-person education to develop it, to deliver it, and to provide the same supports that an in-person student might expect. There are different models where one might go to scale, but it is more expensive. But on the other side, if we are going to compel students to take some courses online because they're too large in a COVID environment to offer in person, is having them having the burden of a $450 additional fee automatically applied to them, is that fair or something we want to do? So I think what we're balancing here is the context in which we're working, the pressures of the budget, but here is the ultimate important thing that we must do. Any decision has to take into account our primary goal is to get every student who was here in the spring back on campus this fall. And whatever we need to do that. That's number one. And number two, we currently have over 280 more students who are registered and paid their deposit for the fall this year than the fall last year. The largest increase in a freshman class since 2002 in 18 years. We have to do everything in our power to get every single one of those young people here for them, for their best interest and for the institution's interest. So again, this is not as simple as it might appear. I wanted to kind of frame both sides of the argument for you as we have the conversation. And I think the discussion likely will be fulsome.
When I'm looking at the budgetary impact of the tuition rate increase, the 2% increase, leaving $2.4 million on the table, is assuming that increasing tuition has no effect on enrollment.
Correct.
Whereas if we lose 50 students, that's basically $750,000 that we left on the table from that, and reduces the $2.4 million. And then that extrapolates out over the 3 years as well, reduces the $10.7 million. So it's hard to say what effect the 2% revenue or 2% tuition increase would have on enrollment. So I'm not sure that, you know, those numbers, yes, if enrollment stayed flat with the increase, are accurate. I just don't feel like that they're completely a real good picture of where we would be financially if we do the 2% increase.
That's a good point. And the price sensitivity analyses we have can't take into account what a pandemic looks like, right? So pre-COVID, the price sensitivity would not have been there. But in the environment which we're working, I think that that is not a safe bet to assume that what we did before works now.
I think a lot of students may be sitting on the fence, too, about, and I don't want to give them any news about WKU that may make that decision for them on whether or not they re-enroll. So I like the keeping the tuition flat for this year.
Susan, so that we can document what was the recommendation from BEC on tuition?
Flat tuition, no increase.
I wanted to echo what Jason said. And I really wanted to frame this from, you know, the student perspective. And really, you know, my biggest thing is right now, all of us as students, everyone in general, is going through a hard time. And one of the big things that WKU always talks about is our family and our community. When we look at this from a holistic perspective, and we look at these options on the table right now, what we're doing is great. Three other schools that I know of across the state have already held their tuition flat, and there's still others that will make that decision. But from a Board of Student Body President's meeting that we've had, this has been a discussion that every school has had. And it's hard discussions to be had because the budgetary implications, you know, the numbers that you see and the numbers that you can look at, there's much more to this conversation than just the numbers. You look at the students that it impacts and the lives that WKU is transforming. And I think this is the perfect opportunity for us to look at this and say, this is what WKU does when they're put in when students are put in a difficult situation. This is how WKU is a family. This is how we are taking everyone in, and we're supporting our message. We're supporting the motto of the university and making that impact for each and every single individual student. And I know that it's always a difficult decision to be had, but I think this speaks volumes to our institution and the support that we do show our students here, which is why I also am a big proponent of the flat increase for tuition.
I'd like to go on the record in full support of what Will just said.
I have go ahead, Linda.
No, I was listening to Jason, and I totally agree. I think it sends a message that we care and we don't want to do that to those families at this time. And by lowering the graduate rate on those hours too, I think it's something we can definitely used to our advantage. So I completely would like to stay flat.
I have two questions. The first one is for the educator discount, do we know what the anticipated budgetary implications of this will be?
I'm sorry, class, can you repeat that question?
For the educator discount, what is the budgetary implication of this reduction to 350?
I think that Corinne, yeah, I think.
It is.
Sure. It's $170,000 on an immediate impact, but it's an 18 student net neutral position. So we just need 18 students additional. And we've actually recruited 21 students over the summer. So we've already reached the point of meeting that target. So.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And my second question was, for which other Kentucky institutions do we already know what they're doing in terms of tuition rates?
Moorhead, Murray, and NKU have all done a 0% tuition increase.
That's correct, Will.
Okay. Yeah, then I think we should follow suit with that.
And one other thing that I'd like to comment on, if anyone has, you know, the I know we have to be in a, make sure that we're thinking about this holistically and there's a competitive component of this. But sometimes it's not a competitive issue that we're talking about. We're actually talking about our students. Okay. Because there are other factors that will come into play that people are going to have to make decisions on that will play into that competitive nature. At the end of the day, what we're actually, to me, asking is what do we want to do related to our students, those students who we want to come back, those students who we want to come here. And given all the other factors are going around the pandemic that none of us understand or have any control of, this is something we control, is how we're going to treat the people who we want to be associated with us. And that, to me, goes far beyond whatever any college or university is going to do in the state of Kentucky or anywhere else. It's what we do for our folks.
I have no opposition to anything that anyone has said. I have always enjoyed telling anyone that would listen that WKU is the best value in higher education in our state, which I believe we are, and I think this will only add to it. One question, since this is a one-year budget, do we have any idea of what CPE may do next year? Is this something we'll visit again in a year or 2 years, which would affect the implications of it ballooning into $10 or $11 million?
We have the opportunity to next year to think about what a one-year tuition policy would look like again. So, again, this is just like for the fee, this is a one-year proposal. It gets us through the year. We have an opportunity next May. Hopefully, if there is a vaccine, the world has returned to some more normalcy that we can make that adjustment. And so maybe it would not be a four-year. It would be a one-year loss of revenue.
And it certainly should not be lost on anyone, the fact that not only may we have a significant increase in the freshman class, but if you look at the retention rate that we achieved last year, I think it was around 7%, which was a phenomenal increase. I think we're holding steady on that this year. Is that right, Mr. President?
Our retention did go up last year, and then given all the pressures that we're facing, that we are flat on retention is a remarkable, remarkable number. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got 3 months to melt, and we have to do everything in our power to prevent that from happening. But I do think that what you all are discussing will go a long way to assisting with that. And if some other institution were to not hold their tuition flat, that's a competitive advantage to us. So to George's point, this is about our students and doing what's in their best interest. at the same time, it just solidifies our market position as the institution in the state that cares about students, who wraps their arms around them, provides an individualized experience that is second to none, but also that total college experience that competes with that red and blue place. I think it positions us beautifully well in comparison to them.
I guess I will I'll move to eliminate the online student fee.
Second. One here. Okay. We have a motion and a second. David, would you please call the vote?
Calling the roll on FB1, Regent Bale.
Yes.
Regent Ball.
Yes.
Regent Brinkley is yes. Regent Ernst.
Yes.
Regent Harris.
Yes.
Regent Higdon.
Yes.
Regent Henson.
Yes.
Regent McKinney.
Yes.
Regent Nichols.
Yes.
And Regent Porter.
Yes.
That motion passes 10-0.
Thank you, Regent Brinkley. The next up is the tuition schedule.
I'll move to approve a 0% tuition increase, or to hold it flat, whichever one you would prefer to word that as.
I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second on FB2. Regent Brinkley, would you please call the vote?
On FB2, Regent Bale.
Yes.
Regent Ball.
Yes.
Regent Brinkley is yes. Regent Ernst.
Yes.
Regent Harris.
Yes.
Regent Higdon.
Yes.
Regent Henson.
Yes.
Regent McKinney.
Yes.
Regent Nichols.
Yes.
And Regent Porter.
Yes.
Regent McKinney, FB2 passes 10-0.
Thank you, Regent Brinkley. All right, next up is the FB3, the Kentucky Educator Graduate Tuition Discount.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Regent Brinkley, would you please call the vote?
Vote call for FB3, Regent Bale.
Yes.
Regent Ball.
Yes.
Regent Brinkley is yes. Regent Ernst.
Yes.
Regent Harris.
Yes.
Regent Higdon.
Yes.
Regent Henson.
Yes.
Regent McKinney.
Yes.
Regent Nichols.
Yes.
And Regent Porter.
Yes.
Regent McKinney, FB3, is also unanimous at 10-0.
Thank you, Regent Brinkley. That's all the all we have on the agenda for the Finance and Budget Committee. I'd just like to say thank you to the BEC, the President's Cabinet, the staff, Senate, and the Faculty Senate for all the hard work they've done over the past week and a half, coming to a compromise that I think is good for all involved and addresses everybody's concerns. So it's a great example of shared governance, and I really appreciate all their hard work. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Chair McKinney. I wanted to give any regents an opportunity to offer comment or other discussion before we adjourn our special meeting today.
I'll offer one comment, Chair. Our staff and faculty really want to do everything possible to help our students succeed, and this year, right now, at this time, is no exception. I believe that today this body has directly aided our staff and faculty in helping our students succeed by not raising the tuition and holding flat the fees, removing the fees, sorry. When we oftentimes we worry about optics, we say, well, what's optically good or what's optically bad? This is not a gesture in optics, but this is a gesture related to a crisis and how we respond as a family to that. And I think that that's really important because it goes well beyond optics, because there is a sacrifice associated with this gesture. and one that we'll have to figure out down the road, which I have no doubt that we will. But it's an honor to serve on this board, and thank you all for your consideration of students, faculty, and staff today.
Thank you, Regent Brinkley. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a comment in view of the fact that we're really seeing higher education change before our eyes, and having served on the Academic Restart Committee, which I mentioned before, I was very impressed with the people on that committee, from the faculty and staff, and their genuine desire and willingness to want to handle this change and evolution in the best way possible. But I think it's important that Western use this to our advantage. Don't let a crisis go without its value and being used, and apply some of the really exciting things that are going on in the world of neuroscience and brain research and how we teach, how we learn. And this is a great opportunity to do that. And I heard others on that committee recognize that. And to me, that's exciting going forward.
I want to make a comment about this distance learning fee. So the thing we just approved is a one-year elimination of this fee. Some of you may remember when we approved it, I was very reluctant when we did this. And my expectation is that distance learning will become much more important, even if this immediate crisis is over. And I think we need to take a really, really good look at whether this fee should not be eliminated permanently.
I want to echo what David said previously, and I also want to start this off by saying every day I am proud to be a Hilltopper, but it's days like today that make me even more proud when our governance groups like this can come together and show exactly how much we support our students and how much of an impact that WKU can have on our students. It's days like today that make me even more proud to be a part of this institution. And I'm sitting here now as a student and thinking about the sacrifice that this did take. And, you know, you can always look at those numbers, but the people and the students' lives that this, we're saving them effectively $1,000 in their college career. And that's going to go a long way. But it's going to go a long way. And the support that we're showing, whether that is holding tuition flat, or that's prioritizing the safety and the health of our students, or that's making shared decisions throughout this campus the past 3.5 months. This has been one of the most amazing processes to see, and I've said this every meeting, but I am so proud of all the work and the sacrifice that we have done as a university and as an institution, and this is the cherry on top to show that support. So thank you all again, and go Tops.
Anyone else? Our next meeting will be June 26th. And let's try to make this an in-person meeting. We may have to rent out Dental Arena and each of us sit in a separate section. But I think it's important that we have some FaceTime and interaction as soon as possible. Anybody have anything else? If not, that concludes all of our items on the special called meeting. Be safe. Stay in touch. Go Tops. And I told Will Harris earlier today that he has accomplished something as a student regent that I have not seen in my tenure. So go Will. He'll tell you what that is sometime. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
See everyone.
Thank you.